This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
From the Shaw's Star Market Studios, the home of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier, afternoons 2 to 6. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station.
This hour of the Great Hill Morning Show brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations.
We're playing a team that has very respected management, coaching staff. They won a Stanley Cup. But I think they sell a narrative over there that it's more like the New York Saints, not the New York Islanders. That, they play hard and they play the right way. But I feel we're the same way. And the exact calls that are getting called on us do not get called on them. So, I don't know why. These are very good officials. They're at this point in the season for a reason.
Ken Laird says that's weak. Your coach whining about the officiating is weak, but he's right.
Okay.
He's right.
Will it have an impact? He tried this over the weekend, didn't work. He is not Berube. Nobody fears him. These refs don't respect Cassidy. I'm sorry, he's okay. Just not seasoned enough.
So no excuses then.
Well, I mean, he can try. I guess it's, I just don't think it's going to work, and we're going to look back on the series, and it's going to just seem like a bunch of whine.
And Maria brought up a good point. Does it sometimes alienate the referees to make them call more because...
Well, it shouldn't. You're supposed to be impartial.
Right, but if you're always kind of like getting on their nerves and they go, okay, all right, you want to keep talking trash about us?
All I ever hear about Brad Stevens is why doesn't he get on the refs so that he gets a call here and there?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't have it both ways.
Well, I'm asking, could it work in the other way?
It shouldn't.
Why are the Bruins on the brink of elimination, Greg?
Because they cannot put the puck in the net and their defense is struggling.
I would say their defense is struggling. And they can't put the biscuit in the basket.
They scored four last night. That should be plenty to win.
Okay, how many open nets did they miss last night?
Well, Marchand missed the one on like that little play where he kind of tried to wrap it in and it went right across the crease. I mean, that's
that was
the only,
early, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only one I remember that was like open.
How about a little sense of urgency with a minute or two left and you're down a goal at home and they're passing the puck around the whole time?
That's the one thing I will say, because it was a 2-on-1 that they had late in the game where I think it was Pasta and somebody else. And
was Marchand and Bergeron. They overpassed it.
Yeah, like that every now and then they do that. But remember, Greg, I had a question for you.
Yes, I remember that.
Okay.
Can I mention one thing?
Sure.
And that is Nesson's Andrew Raycroft will join us in about 10 minutes to talk about the Bruins' loss last night. Mm-hmm. And two things. And I have Red Sox tickets to give away this hour.
Mm-hmm.
So keep listening to win Red Sox tickets. What was your one question?
Now, I want you to be honest.
Yes.
Were you surprised when Swayman was in net at the start of the third period?
I was, yes.
Okay.
I was surprised.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. So you were like, I feel like me, when I was like, wait a second, am I missing something here?
I think it's weird in a pivotal game, at a pivotal point in the series, to go to a rookie goaltender who hasn't played in the playoffs yet. I think it's weird.
Right, okay.
I mean, everybody was praising Tuukka days ago, saying that he won the game for the team in overtime. So right. I, unless There was this a clear injury thing that was tweaked, got worse. It was the reason that he was not at the morning skate or whatever. It did surprise me. Did it surprise you?
Yeah, I was shocked. I didn't get it because they weren't down enough where you'd go, okay, I can see why they would pull the goalie.
But, Greg, the difference here is when you have a Patrick Roy or a Tim Thomas or whomever, one of these goalies that are just
Patrick
great.
Roy.
Right, Patrick Roy is shirt and leave calls him. But the fact is that you don't think about that guy. You know he's in net. You worry about the rest of the ice. You don't worry about the goalie. And whether it's on-the-field performance, off-the-field disappearance, or just a general lack of ability to rely on him, Tuukka is not the goalie that you want him to be. He's never going to be a guy that you just put in net and let him play.
And don't worry about it. So you're always worrying about him. You're always worried that he's checked out or something.
Do you feel like you can always rely?
I do because I...
You took a picture with you and you kissed his ass. Like, just honestly, give me your honest opinion about who Tuukka Rask is as a goalie.
I think he has a certain type of personality which he does not appear to be overly passionate about everything in life. Mm-hmm. And I think that people mistake that for a lack of passion. Okay. That's my personal opinion, Curtis. I hope it's okay that I have it.
Did he say anything after the game yesterday talking about how much he can't wait to get back on the ice?
I haven't spoken to him since he was on this radio program.
To the media that's in Boston at the Garden.
Did he speak last night to the media?
He did not.
Oh. He did not. Hmm. He did not speak to the media last night.
Back to this now.
This is Jay from North Carolina. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Boy, am I really pissed. Yeah. I am pissed. It is not Tuukka Rask's fault. You've got these Islands of Fallen camped out in front of him, and like the Canadian defensemen, they don't let anybody in front of Carey Price. Mm-hmm. Nobody. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Bergeron and Krejci should come back and back check and get rid of that third man because it's the third man that's doing the damage. And Tuukka Rask is not at fault, and I hope they start him for game six because he's a veteran goaltender.
Okay. I agree with Jay. On the ice, I don't have an issue with Tuukka. Like, I'm never concerned with him when he's in the game, like whether it's mentally. I just don't – off the ice, yeah, there are some issues that you go, all right, maybe this is – and I think this is why a lot of people are kind of, you know, feel this way about Tuukka is because of some of the off-the-ice issues. But he's proven that he could take a team to a Game 7 of a Stanley Cup. He's proven that he's a Stanley Cup caliber goalie. Mm-hmm. But I just think what Cassidy did last night, you can't do that, and that potentially could be a turning point for your team that backfires.
This is Mike from Florida, I think, if the mouse can work. Does Mike have us on hold? Mike?
Yo, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
He does have the little hold sound.
Sorry about that. I was trying to switch over from my stupid Bluetooth. I'm pretty disgusted with this game and the way that they're playing. I get the little bit of blame that you can put on Tuukka because he didn't look into it. There was one point where he came out of the net and he almost caused a goal just the way he came out of the net. It was just like, what are you doing? Get back in the net, you know? And the way I look at it is if Tuukka is any less than 80%, you got to go with Swayman. But if he's 80% or better, he needs to be in the net because he's the better goalie. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing that's really bugging me is you can put blame on Tuukka all you want. If he is not 100%, then it is the responsibility of the rest of the team to do a good job of getting his back, and they're not doing that. Their fundamentals have sucked when they have lost. When they have won, their fundamentals have been great. If you look at the passing last night, almost every pass I saw when they were trying to enter the zone was behind somebody, ahead of somebody, on somebody's skates, as we saw earlier in the series, on somebody's skates is really not beneficial to the hockey team and to trying to win this series. So what has to happen is the team needs to step up, whether or not it's Tuukka in net. They have to step up because I don't care who it is in goal. I don't care if it's Tim Thomas or Patrick Roy, doesn't matter. there is no goalie that's going to be able to stand on their head when that team in front of them is not fundamentally sound, and they are not right now. That's on Bruce Cassidy.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll hear what Andrew Raycroft of Nesson has to say about last night coming up, but right now here is Ken Laird and what is trending.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's Just For You. This week, Shaw's Just For You members can pick up Pepsi or Schweppes Seltzer 12-packs on sale, 3 for $9.97 when you buy three and activate that digital coupon. Hurry, it's valid through Thursday, June the 10th. And big report from Fitzy. Nick Stevens reporting Tuca is eating breakfast by himself this morning, and the Bruins are considering forfeiting tomorrow.
Wow, what a scoop.
We'll see if that's true.
Were there any wigs thrown at that breakfast?
Your guy Corrali in the crosshairs too, Greg.
Well, he should be.
Cassidy calling him out.
I have not been that impressed with the play of Sean Corrali of late. I mean, he took that penalty last night. That was a ridiculous call.
Yeah, that wasn't.
That's not his fault. But the Palmieri goal, the second period, the one that started the second period, the drop pass that went nowhere.
The one he couldn't get out of his own?
Right.
Somebody needs to punch Palmieri in the face, by the way.
He's got that red thing in between his teeth. With the,
so just, annoying.
He is annoying. Here's Cassidy.
Well, there's two things, Kevin. Our clears. We had opportunities to clear on every PK. You know, and some of them on the D are tough. They're under pressure. Crowley had one. He just has to shoot down the ice. He should know better than that. He's been on our team a long time. Big part of our PK. You're not making plays there. Get it down the ice.
There it is. Calling him out directly. No practice today. They'll get back at it for a must win. Would you say game 6 tomorrow night? I think we can officially say that.
Yes.
At the Coliseum.
Yes.
Well, you mocked me yesterday when I said last night was must win.
No, I was right. No, tonight is
because they're getting
must
desperate.
Win.
Cassidy was calling out the refs. I mean, just desperate.
I mean, what about no Miller, no Carlo? I mean, can we talk about the defense and the effect that has on Tuca?
Yeah, they need Carlo back. Big time.
Carlo will be back. 100%.
He'll be back.
Tweet that out.
All right.
Can't confirm it.
We'll keep it short because Razor's coming up. Quickly, the Red Sox, 5-3 win, swept Miami. It was separated, postponed game. Big day for Christian Arroyo, and Nick Pivetta does well again. 2 runs allowed, left of the 5-2 lead. 3-game series with the Astros, those cheating Astros tonight at Fenway. 7:10 first pitch on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Andrew Raycroft coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
On EEI.
Right now on the Harbor One Hotline, it is Nesson's Andrew Raycroft and Razor. For some this morning around here, it appears to be open season on Tuukka Rask.
It sure does. And this back issue has opened him up for that. And anytime you have a maintenance period, which I've never heard of in game 5 of the second round of the Stanley Cup playoff, there's going to be a lot of questions and certainly a lot of confusion for a lot of us.
Wiggy is faulting the coach here, says that he never should have made that change last night, but it seems like there is that injury, the back thing or whatever it is, may be more serious than anybody thought. or did he tweak it? I mean, what is your best guess?
It seems that way. It was a full day of that now, and especially in hindsight, where he gets off early in the morning. Billy Jaffe talked about the warm-up, and he didn't look right in the building. And then I watched him just playing the puck, and with something that he's done really well, really worked on, got better at, I thought it was not sharp, especially to start the game. A few odd plays coming out of the net, didn't look like he could really get a lot of leverage on his stick and make real good hard plays. And you put all of it together, and then he comes out, there's something going on. But when the coach says he could have went, but we didn't, it's I'm not sure. There's just a lot to try and take from not the 100% information that we have.
Now, Andrew, in that situation, you've been in nets before. I think the biggest thing for me is that you're in a position, you're only down two goals, started a third period, pulling a guy like that. And I know he might have something going on, but I think everybody plays through injuries. I almost feel like that does more damage to him mentally, because it was a game that maybe in his mind he believes if he's still in the nets, they win.
Yes, and it also, I'm with you 100% on that. And I thought they were still in it. I think that putting Swayman out there, that puts him in a tough spot, never play in the playoffs. Does Tuukka make that save on Brock Nelson and keep it 4-2, and then they go back and tie it up? I feel like he could have, but if he's injured, then maybe they were worried about it, and that brings all those questions. So I agree. I would have loved to have seen him gut it out. It's hard for a goaltender to play injured. You hear about guys, the mythology of Patrice Bergeron coming out of the hospital. And as a goaltender, that's a lot harder to do. You can't just go up and down the wing and change your game and just get in on the forecheck or just play good defensively. As a goaltender, you're in or you're not. It's one or the other. And when you're not 100%, if you're not feeling it completely, then it makes your job very, very difficult. You can't change it up. So I agree. I would have liked to have seen him stay in. And if it is an injury, then he's injured and he couldn't do it. Whatever it is, his health has to be better for him to play game six than what it was game five. If he's the same way going into game six as he was going into game five, then I don't think you can play him.
Do you think it's any kind of a factor that the knock on him is that he's soft and he disappears? And so the way he's looking at it himself is, I'm going to play through this injury when maybe I shouldn't be, because everybody's all over me about last year and other times that I disappeared.
There's certainly that side of it. You want to be there for your teammates, and we've talked about this with Tuukka. His teammates love him. He wants to be in there. He's trying his best. On the other hand, his track record, his resume, opens him for more criticism, because this has happened before in different scenarios, different ways this has come out. So it's a twofold situation for Tuukka, and he's in a tough spot with it personally because of his prior resume. If this is the first time anything's ever happened, I think we look at it and say, well, he's really bad. He's fought through so much over 12 years. In the other side, he might be trying to show people that he can do it.
Now, Andrew, one of the things that I kind of have an issue with is what makes Cassidy a great coach is his ability to be transparent after games. But when you say he could have went back in and played, doesn't that kind of bring up some red flags to whether or not, I mean, we all, how bad Tuukka was hurt where he couldn't have finished the game, when your head coach says, well, he could have went in there, he could have finished this game. Doesn't that make you think a little bit, like, what's really going on here?
Absolutely, it does. I'm more confused afterwards. There's so much gamesmanship going on. You hear about the refs. You hear about the face-offs on Barry Trotz. There's a lot of gamesmanship going on in these post-game interviews. And this part of it, the maintenance, and he could have went back in, is the most intriguing for me afterwards. And that's going to cause the chaos of what tomorrow's morning skate is going to be, because there's going to be all kinds of scenarios getting thrown out there when the Bruins take the ice in Nassau Coliseum.
Speaking of the officiating, Ken Laird was saying earlier it was embarrassing that Bruce Cassidy was calling that out. How do you feel about it?
I think he had to do it. I think it's been bad for both sides, and I think it was – I heard you guys throw the word desperation around. I think that's what that was, trying to get one extra call that the Islanders have been getting. But at the end of the day, listen, they've given up 6 power play goals on 10 chances at home in 3 games against the New York Islanders. So when we look back on this series – and the Bruins don't find a way to win through game 7, I'm going to look at the PK and its inability to stop this team. If they win those 3 games on home ice, they're both 1-goal games. They're giving up 6 goals on 10 chances. That's the difference right now in the series being 3-2 for the Islanders.
And again, you got guys last night taking stupid penalties.
Absolutely. And a little bit, that's not on, like Corrali, you guys said, that's not a splash. The ref made a bad call. You got Wagner punching Barzal in the neutral zone. Again, not always a call in the playoffs, but that's the way it's been, especially this year. And it's just, when you're not killing them, those penalties look even dumber.
So, Andrew, when you look at that, who's – obviously, I mean, I believe it's the head coach's job to make sure that the team plays with better discipline. How does he, you know, get these guys to understand that – you know, whether it's a Richie and the guys on the ice, and I know you want to give a little cheap shot and you want to let guys know that you're here. How does he get them to understand that we want to be aggressive, but we still want to be disciplined on how we play hockey?
They've been playing with fire all year with their penalties. They took a bunch in the Washington series that were undisciplined at times, and it's on the coaches, but I'm sure they're telling them all of that. So at the end of the day, the players are the ones on the ice. They have to recognize the situation. They have to have the feel of what the refs are calling game to game, which isn't easy, but that's the NHL. And listen, at the end of the day, Carlo and Miller not being in the lineup, your two best penalty killers on the back end, is really hurting them. And they both have head injuries, so it's not like something you can just roll them out with a broken hand and hope, because head injuries, we know, are completely different.
Hey, Andrew, back to the Tuukka thing for a second. The fourth goal, the last one he gave up, the Eberle power play goal, what did you think of that one? Could that possibly have been a factor in Bruce pulling him?
I think it was all 4 of them together. If that was the only one, I'm not faulting him on that. I think the other 2 in front of the net were broken plays. You look at the Barzal one. Typically, we see Tuukka make that save. He gets over on his post, covers the short side just a little bit longer. You see him get pulled off right at the last second. He just couldn't outweigh Barzal, and that's his shot, that short side. So I think you put all 4 of them together. I don't think it was just the Eberle, but when you give up 4 goals on 16 shots, you're going to, as a goaltender, you look at all of them together, and it makes it hard to keep going.
If you're the coach, who do you start tomorrow night?
I know. It is either way. You're now playing with hope. You hope Tuukka's healthy if he's playing, or you hope that the rookie goalie can catch lightning in the bottle and continue his play in the playoffs that he's never done in one of the hardest buildings that they've played, as well as anyone on home ice. So either way, we're in a hopeful situation for at least the first 10-15 minutes of game 6 in the goaltending position, and that's not something anyone here in Boston's used to.
Doesn't it confuse you, though, like as a fan, if Tuukka does start tomorrow night, you go, well, how bad is he hurt if Cassidy's willing to start him and pull him from the game on last night? I mean, I think I would still be really confused if Tuukka starts. I almost, at this point, I expect him not to start based on the way that it seems like Cassidy's talking as far as his health issues. Because if he's not healthy, you're doing your team a disservice by putting an injured goalie in there.
Yes, and it will lead to a lot of questions and some confusion. I think because we know it is a back, it's some kind of a back core issue. So did he wake up on the wrong side of the bed yesterday morning and just not feel it, where today maybe he's better and tomorrow he's even healthier than what he was And I think you're going to have to trust the training staff, the coaches, and most importantly, Tuca. He's going to be the one that's going to have to say, listen, I can go. I'm all in. I can make 55 saves tonight if I have to.
But if you have a, you know, who do you prefer, an 80% Tuca Rask or 100% Swayman?
I know. And that's...
Give me the 80, it's, Tuca.
It's crazy. It's crazy that this is what we're doing. And typically I'm saying 80% Tuca. However, if that was 80% in game five, then maybe you roll out the kid and hope that, like I said, he can make a couple saves early. But I don't know what he was in game five. That goes to that. If he was 65, then maybe 80 is enough. But if he was 80 in game five, I don't know if it's enough.
Andrew, what's the reaction in between periods last night leading into the third among Bergeron, Marchand, Krejci, Pasta, those guys, when they get told that Swayman's starting the third period in net?
I don't think it changes too much. Guys don't pay attention to the goalies. A lot of times guys don't even know who's in net. It's Tuca, you just assume it. It might be a little more shocking in that net, but they had 50 seconds of a power play that they were probably focused on. Listen, we're going to score two goals. We're going to tie it up 4-4. Charlie McAvoy said, I didn't even know it was different goalie until this period started. And to be honest, there's a lot of guys in that room that are like that, that aren't even paying attention to the goaltender. Goalies do their own thing. They're on the island. So it wouldn't have been a big announcement. They would have noticed, but they also would have been going to the iPads and checking out how to make an adjustment to score a power play goal and make it a one-goal game.
Well, Curtis has said many times that he believes that those players are disappointed in Tuca's compete level. Do you get any feeling like that?
I don't. I think they... When you have to answer questions and you have the – but at the end of the day, there's been so many guys that have had compete issues for the Bruins that aren't here anymore. This room, this core, this organization's done a very good job, and why they've been so successful is they've figured out who's ready to go, who competes for them, and Tuukka Rask has been here for a dozen years. So that tells me that it hasn't gotten to a level where it's bothered them. And – If it did, if he wasn't working hard enough, he didn't care enough about his teammates, I don't think he would have been here as long. I don't think any player would be here that long. The goaltending position's a little different. They recognize how talented he is. They understand his personality. So I don't think they're completely excited they have to answer questions about it. But at the end of the day, they believe in Tuca. And he wouldn't be here if they didn't.
But, Andrew, they're constantly being asked questions about him. I mean, I said earlier on the show that basically he's not Roy or Tim Thomas or named the great goalie playoff run of the year, whatever it was. He's not like that because with those guys, you never have to worry about them. You know they're in net. You know that the only way the backup's getting in is if somebody runs the goal and he gets hurt. It's in that case, I agree with you that they're never thinking about the goalie. But last night, entering the third period of a must-win Game 5 with the series tied at 2, and you have a rookie in net in the third period because injury, maybe, is his head in the right place? I'm sure they all remember last summer. I mean, this is a guy where every year with the playoffs, it's something new.
Yes, and so to your point, maybe not worried about it in the second intermission, but today they're talking about it. Tomorrow morning they're going to be wondering where he is and if he's going and who's playing net. That's much more of a question today and tomorrow for the guys. I just go to him, Tuca, being here as long as he has and recognizing how good he is when he plays. And this is another situation. I can't go all out defending because it's another piece of the puzzle. It's another storyline where we're talking about Tuca. So I understand where that's coming from, but I do believe that the guys, if he's in, if he's healthy, are just going to play and not be concerned if he's coming out of the net or not in game six.
Andrew, one of the things that you talked about was today, tomorrow, the morning skate. Guys, they might not be aware of Tuca in the moment because they're focused on the game. You know, I've been in situations where it's a little similar in the fact that it's a quarterback. Who's going to be the guy that's going to be playing? Have you ever been in a situation where, I don't want to say the room is divided, but it's like, okay, they feel a certain way about one goalie, like Tuca's our guy, but then there's some other guys in there going, well, maybe Tuca's not in the right mind or physical state we should be playing Swayman. Have you ever been in that situation and kind of seen how it plays out and what that does to a locker room leading into an important game like this?
You've definitely seen it. Definitely happens on a lot of teams, and they're definitely not an ideal situation. And I'm not going to speak. I don't know enough intel. I don't know what's going on here, but like where are the teams at, if they are split or if they're not. But I've definitely seen it, and it's not an ideal situation when you have two guys and half the room likes one, half the room likes the other. Typically, those teams don't win championships. They don't win enough playoff rounds.
When you saw it, was it guys who said your mind wasn't in it?
Mine's not in it.
Well, I mean, I think I agree with you, which is that an 80% Tuukka Rask is the better choice than a 100% rookie. But I mean, it's just how difficult is it from a rookie perspective when you haven't played at all to get that start tomorrow night?
It's a really tough spot. It's a really tough spot where you haven't kept up with the pace. It's so much quicker than what it was the last time you played the regular season game that doesn't matter at the end. However, we've seen rookie goalies go in. We saw Swayman come in and play great right away. So if he does get in there, he's got to do the job, and he's got to find a way, and that's how NHL careers really blossom, is getting those opportunities, finding a way to grind it out, and finding a way to win. So if he is in there, then he's going to be ready to go, and he's going to be the Bruins' best option, and he will be able to make saves. And listen, the guys could get a lot of energy with some early saves from a rookie goaltender.
All right. Well, we all know the statistics when it comes to being down 3-2. So we will see what happens tomorrow night.
Not ideal. Don't forget, 2019, they were down 3-2 to the Leafs in the first round. They went on the road, got the win, and then won in Game 7. But this is it's going to be a wild, 36 hours of goaltending speculation. We're going to talk about it again tomorrow morning. I'm sure you guys are going to go 4 hours of it.
All right, Andrew Raycroft, thank you for joining us this morning. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Enjoy.
Later.
Okay. All right. Anything surprising from Razor?
Before he came on, he said Tuukka's dead to him. So he's going not to say that on the air. But
I think he felt the same way I did when Cassidy said he could have went back in. Like, that was something like a head-scratcher.
But he said the head-scratcher is maintenance in a key game in a playoff series, like describing it as maintenance.
Right, but then also saying, and he still could have played.
Yeah.
Right? So that, like, that's the thing that he was confused as, I feel like, as a lot of people are, is like, well, we know Cassidy is so transparent when he's talking about his team. Why wouldn't he just say, well, you know, physically he wasn't able to go?
But what hit him home the most for me, what he said early, Greg, was about, this is not Bergeron playing through something. This is a goalie. You can't play through stuff at that position. I think Andrew answered his own question there. You go with the healthy guy. Now it's time for Swayman. If you know he's healthy, you take your chances.
All right, I'm going to give away some Red Sox tickets. If you are the ninth caller right now at 617-931-0937, you will see the Sox and the Astros on Thursday night at Fenway. Thanks to KM Hot Dogs. As long as there's KM, there's summer. They are the official hot dog of the Boston Red Sox. So, ninth caller, 617-931-0937. You are off to Fenway Park.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
How's your health, Tuukka? I know you missed a couple games there late in the year. Some fans were concerned. How do you feel at this time, and how's your game at this point?
Game feels good. Health is okay. I've been playing, so that's okay. It's not as good as I want it to be, but obviously I've been playing and practicing, so I'm out there. That's all that matters.
Tuukka Rask on this program 9 or 10 days ago on not being 100%. And so I guess the question is, who goes tomorrow night? And if you're Bruce Cassidy, who do you feel is the better option in a must-win game tomorrow night?
I feel like it's Tuukka, but I also felt like you shouldn't have took Tuukka out. If you feel like there's an issue with Tuukka Rask and you feel like something is going on with his health, then you should be on the side of start Swayman. Why would you want to say, well, let's see where Tuukka goes and then go from there? No, this game is so important, and if you feel like Tuukka might have some things physically.
Well, he does. He clearly does. He told you on this show and elsewhere that he does.
But if you feel like he can't play through those things.
And the coach told you last night that he was out for the third period because of a maintenance issue.
Then you start Swayman.
This is Steve from Fall River. What's up, Steve?
My compete level this morning is very high, as it usually is. I just want you to know that.
Good, good. And comforting. Good to know.
I have confidence in whatever Bruce Cassidy decides, but I will say he does have a nice situation where he won't get a split locker room, guys, because he can use the injury to say, I got to go, you know, you had to take him out. He gave up 4 goals of 14. You know, these guys know what he did. He gave him 4 goals of 14 or 16 shots. And the other guy's proven he can. Now, back in the day, what usually happens is when the backup goalie goes in, yes, he's not as good. He's not as tested. He's not as true. And it does give a benefit to the whole team. Or it should give a benefit to the whole team where they're minding their P's and Q's. They're going back, forechecking. The defensemen are claiming the puck. They're doing a little bit extra. That's usually the effect that happens. And that's not a bad effect. I haven't seen as much as this Swayman as other people have, that I don't watch during the regular season, but I hear he's been tight. So if he can come in and we can get that benefit, I don't think we're going to have the finger pointing in the locker room. I just don't think.
Okay. All right. This is Bill from New Hampshire. Hey, Bill. What's up?
Yeah. Hi. Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I think the way bigger issue, honestly, is not who you put in this. Wayman's really good. I think the issue is who do you put instead of Smith on the second line. He was laboring terribly last night. I mean, he's the guy who turned the puck over, in fact, in their zone by simply trying to flip the puck out. I mean, Taylor Hall's looking for him all the time, and he's just nowhere to be found. The guy's laboring. He's a great hockey player, and that line was on fire going into the playoffs, and not now. I mean, even the goal, there's one last point, even the goal that Krejci scored, usually got Smith barreling to the net when he's healthy, not last night. I don't like DeBrus, but I think he's probably the guy they ought to play tomorrow night. So
I don't know. We talked about this earlier. I don't think you're going to see DeBrusk again. I don't think he should.
Craig Smith, though. That he did have he could not clear it right before the Brock Nelson goal, the fifth goal. He tried to just pinch it off the boards and didn't get out. Nice play by Pelech to glove it. But that proves, big picture, Greg, the Islanders have physically taken a toll on them in this series. They've injured Craig Smith. They've injured Carlo. I don't know if Tuukka's, you know, related to the, you know, net traffic or anything like that, but those have been serious injuries for them.
This is Johnny from Stoneham. What's up, Johnny?
How's it going, guys?
Hey, what up?
I had called a couple of weeks ago, actually maybe before the playoffs. I told you guys, I don't know if you'll remember, that it's going to take a miracle to win with Rask.
Yep,
he's an albatross. He's an albatross. And not saying he ain't bad. That's like Dan Marino, Jim Kelly. You know, there's always been a good player that's always not gotten a championship or whatever. But with Rask and this team, last night they outshot them 44-19. Rask let in 4 out of 16 shots, and that happens. I watch all hockey, not just the Bruins.
All right.
And when you're watching the Bruins up in the corner, you watch that shot total. I'll look at the end of the game. And they constantly, 95% of the time, outshoot all their opponents all year long and still lose with Rask in net.
Yeah, but how many high danger chances did the Bees have versus the Islanders?
Okay, but Curtis,
that doesn't matter. I played for 40 years, and a deflection is just as good as a quality shot. So it, just putting them on net is good. But
I played ice hockey on a pond in Dover. I dominated.
By the way, Curtis,
wait a minute. Swayman proved himself a little bit during the year. So it's not like they would have been putting him in, you know, cold and not knowing what they have. I would have played him game one, and if he let in one or two crappy goals, then I would have pulled him, but I would have seen what he could do in the playoffs before they got in this position.
I had a really tough time with fine motor, so I had the chair. I, like, pushed the chair along the ice.
Big regular season hockey guy, though, you are. I mean, you watch every regular season game,
I have
Curtis.
Three different NHL packages. I just watch them on a loop.
And you were, I mean, you were savant-like with your two-goal prediction for David Pastrnak.
I mean, at some point, you're just going to call me a savant because I've been right about everything that matters.
You're the hockey guy around now.
Brady won the Super Bowl, nailed that from the beginning. Two goals for Pasta. I've given three predictions. All three have hit.
And Curtis is saying Tuukka starts tomorrow and basically a shutout, right?
It dominates. I was close to a shutout for game three.
That's because he's an albatross.
He's an albatross.
I mean, I really think that I should be hired by Nesson to do the post-game stuff.
You, like Jaffe, and Razor?
Yep, just that's the crew. Me, Jaffe, and Razor, all hosts.
Three hockey heads.
Do you own a suit? You have to own a suit.
I do not, but I can go get one. My dad's around. He'll help me out.
All right. 617-779-7937 is the number if you'd like to be on the show this morning. Or you can text on the text line, which is 37937.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.